Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Listen to the third stanza. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mangled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Reading from Romans chapter 1, the first 22 verses. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, of whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that ye may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith of you and me. Now we would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. So far, we read from God's holy word. Let's give thanks for it. Let's pray that we'll have understanding of it. The Lord Jesus opened the understanding of the apostles on the day of resurrection that they might understand the scriptures. Without that, we're in that number of which God wrote in his word. There is none that understandeth. Let's pray. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus, who is the way, the truth, the life, the door into thy presence of love. And he only is that, as thou hast told us through the mouth of Peter, there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we can be saved. We give thanks for that name, that his name was called Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sin. We give thanks that we have that message, that truth, that power. And we pray, Father, in the name of Christ, that it might be given to us today through this word, by thy Spirit, for thy glory, for our present and eternal good, and then also for the good of others, that the church might be revived, and that the church might then be a salt and make thy word known, particularly the gospel. We pray, Father, that the church also might itself repent and call the rest of our nations and the rest of the world to repentance, to a change. We have, in many ways, turned away from thee. Many nations whose fathers have known thee far better than we do today in our generation. We pray, Father, that thou wilt yet forgive us, turn us, call us, save us, that we might again be a salt in every nation. We pray, Father, for these blessings first. We also give thanks for the natural blessings that we have. We, in this area particularly, food and raiment and home, when others are in suffering, and we pray for those who are suffering, in hunger and homeless, the war-torn lands, the persecuted. We pray for those in sickness, that they might receive health, if it could be thy will. If not, they might have grace to bear under it and to learn from it. We pray for those who will soon meet the end death, that they might be prepared through Christ. We pray for the broken homes, the children in those homes, the schools. We pray for soldiers, police, all these different needs that are there. We pray that thou would look on them in mercy through Christ. And we give thanks in his name. Amen. As we look at this letter, epistle of Paul to the church at Rome once again, beginning with the fact that Paul is a servant of Jesus Christ. He is separated under the gospel of God. When he wrote to another church, he says, "Woe is me if I preach not the gospel." That he knew was his calling, and he did it faithfully. He did it, as we also read in his understanding, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Everyone that truly believes it will know its power. It takes God's power to bring us to believe it, to submit to it in repentance, and then in faith acknowledge there is none other way but through Christ Jesus, the Lord, the Savior of mankind. And as we read also, promised. And certainly he was. He was given by promise already to Adam, promise to Abraham and others along the way, we may believe, knew it when Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain by faith. We may believe he knew that promise given to his parents, probably to him as well. All of that is there. We also read here, and we saw some of it last week, verse 4 of this first chapter, declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. I don't know if it's declared by the resurrection or if we are to think of it as declared throughout the Word and also accompanied by the power of the resurrection. We see both in Scripture. We see the resurrection already spoken of in Psalm 2, where we read in verse 7, "I will declare the decree. The Lord said unto me, Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee." There the Lord Jesus is speaking in the first person by the pen of the psalmist already 1,000 years before he took on him the form of a man and lived, died, and rose again. We see many times that he's spoken of as God. And certainly he is that, as John writes in his gospel, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Nothing was made without him." All coincides with Genesis chapter 1, and also what we read here in this first chapter of Romans about creation, that it's there so plain that no one has an excuse not to know God through the creation, showing his power, his wisdom. We read of him as God in Psalm 45. We read there, verse 6, "Thy throne, O God, is forever, and the scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." There we see both persons mentioned when we read, "Therefore God, thy God." Much the same as in Psalm 110, 10. David's word speaking, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." All of that shows that there is two persons and one Godhead. We may not understand it, but we can and must believe it because the word tells us that. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We also read in other places about God speaking to him. When we read here, declared to be the Son of God with power. When the Lord Jesus was baptized, we read in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Also, later, the ministry of Christ, we can read the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, verse 5, "Behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Not only declared, but we are told to hear him. And we are told at other places as well. All of that is given. Also, Peter refers to the time when they were in the mount called the Mount of Transfiguration, where Christ was there with Moses and Elijah, Peter and James and John. And Peter refers to that in his second epistle and says, "For we receive from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount." All those times God spoke from heaven, as well as spoke to different people, that the seed of the woman would come. Promised to Abraham, "In thy seed shall all the nation of the earth be blessed." But Peter doesn't stop there. Listen to what he also states. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." Peter is telling us what he saw, what he heard. And then he's telling us there is a more sure word of prophecy than what he remembered and what he stated. He says, "You do well to take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." And then what is that? More sure word of prophecy. In verse 20, "Knowing this, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Is it any wonder that God said through the prophet Isaiah, "To this man will I look, who is poor and trembleth at my word"? Yes, a sure word of prophecy. We do well to take heed to it, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. The psalmist said, "Thy word is a light in my path." And certainly it is that. How long? Peter writes, "Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart." When George Whitefield gave his testimony of his conversion and his salvation, he talked about the day star that arose in his heart in that conversion. That comes out of the Scripture, and we must give heed to Scripture until we have Christ. He is the day star. He is the bright and morning star. He should be and must be the fairest of 10,000 to our soul. All of that is there. Reading again this fourth verse from Romans chapter 1, "And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, Christ declared of himself. As we can see it in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 17, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again." Listen to verse 18. "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Speaking of laying down his life, which he did. Speaking of taking it up again, saying, "I have power to do it." Yes, God raised him from the dead, but as he said here, "I have power to take it again." Amazing. Beyond our comprehension, but true. Yes, true. Some time ago, we mentioned the emphasis on truth. Also, the kingdom. Both of those things are throughout the scripture. God's word is truth, and it declares the kingdom of God, and more particularly, the kingdom of Christ. Think of Daniel when he gave the meaning of the dream to Nebuchadnezzar. Part of that was given, as Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar, what he saw. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, "In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And that kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Forasmuch as thou sawest that stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. The dream is certain, and the interpretation sure." Peter was preaching Christ to Nebuchadnezzar, and God was showing it to him through that dream. The stone cut out of the mountain without hands. That's how Christ is there described. Here again, declared to be the Son of God with power. There are those who deny that, and those who even say and write in the book that they propagate that if anyone believes that Jesus is the Son of God, let him be accursed. Not true. If we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, we can be blessed. If we don't believe it, we will be cursed. We will be damned. It's all in him. All believing. Again, as Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." The gospel of Christ is the gospel of the Son of God coming down to earth and taking on him the form of a man, then humbling himself to the death of the cross, but not staying there. Rising again, as he said he would. And as we could read through the Old Testament, "This day have I begotten thee," Psalm 2. David said in Psalm 16, he would not be left in the grave. Peter later stated that David spoke of his resurrection. And again, we have that message, both in prophecy and its actual happening. And as we read the words of Christ, that he had power to lay it down and power to take it again. Yes, it is a kingdom of light. And we are part of that light if we are part of that kingdom. When Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, he wrote how God had taken them out of the way of darkness. Colossians chapter 1, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which made us partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Yes, God's Son, of whom He spoke from heaven at different times. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And the one time, hear ye Him. Oh, listen to Him as He speaks. We must hear His voice. He is speaking with the Father. We must know that to come out of the kingdom of darkness. Coming back here, Paul speaks of this church at Rome as having received the blessing in verse 5, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name. Speaking there particularly of Himself, and in the next verse, for them at Rome, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. There is a call in nature, as we read it, that renders every person without excuse. There's the call of the Word, but not always accompanied with the Spirit in the same way. We have to have that call in power. As Paul said and wrote later to the Thessalonians, he had been there. Later he wrote to them and said, knowing your election, brethren, how we came not in word only, but in power with the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. There is the call to all men. The gospel is to be preached to every creature. But God at times accompanies it with more power than others, bringing revival in the church, bringing awakening and salvation as He did on the day of Pentecost. When Peter preached, he caused that word to prick in the heart of 3,000. And then, a little later, they are described as gladly receiving the word and were baptized. Both, first pricking, then thankful, glad that that word was coming to them and gave them what Peter promised. You shall receive not only remission of sins, but the gift of the Holy Ghost. He would witness with them that they were God's children. That's what you and I need, the witness of the Spirit, who takes the things of Christ and shows them to us. But first, we must be pricked in the heart. First, it must be made known to us that we haven't believed on the Lord Jesus. As He said, when the Spirit comes, He will reprove the world of sin. Of sin because you believed not on Me. Yes, we will believe certain things. We will believe in a certain way, but not the right way. Particularly not as the sinners we are. By nature, we will not admit that. We need that power of the Spirit, the conviction of the Word. The law is our schoolmaster to humble us and to bring us to the Lord Jesus, the Savior of the world, He who is alone the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Oh, what a blessing there is in believing God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives eternal life.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.